are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. I feel like we do that too much, like the week after. So like, well, somebody did this. It's a very corny joke. So I apologize, listeners, for you hearing that.
I'm not apologizing for shit.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Percy Harvin, at this moment in time, he hasn't been relevant since 2011, so don't pick him up anywhere. Like, he was picked up on my team that I acquired in the Dynasty League that I just joined.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Yeah, I ranked 3 Rams wide receivers this week, and it made me feel a little sick.
So
yeah,
I mean,
the bong that cost him about $10 million?
Yeah.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 90 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. Week 9 is upon us. Another terrible bye week situation going on. I guess we're going to have to go through the doldrums of these 6 teams on bye, you know, which sucks. But, you know, hopefully we'll get through it.
It definitely does suck, except for the fact the Redskins are on bye, which means I won't have to endure another loss or another tie.
Which is awesome. I love that the tied, because there's a lady that I work with, this, you know, little old lady, and she never gambles, but she randomly gambled this last weekend, and she happened to gamble on the Cincinnati Washington game. And the whole time she's like, you know, oh my goodness, I took Washington plus 3 this side or the other. And then the game, you know, is obviously tied going into overtime, and she's cheering her ass off, thinking that she had just won that game in particular. And I'm like, Amy, NFL games don't tie, but once in every like 5 years. It never happens.
And it happened last the week before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, it happened the week before, so there's no chance this game ties. You know, and lo and behold, not only did that game tie, but the Buccaneers game almost tied as well if the Buccaneers knew how to tackle.
Yeah, well, if the Redskins knew how to kick, they would have won that game and been 5-3 and really, you know, kind of in the hunt for a playoff spot. But now they're 4-3-1, which is just embarrassing.
Well, people get so upset about the tie, which I mean, I'm upset about actually seeing a game tie because I feel like it's ridiculous. But in terms of the actual standings, it can be a pro at times. A lot of times it isn't, but, you know, it's not the end of the world if you tie.
At no point is a tie better than a win.
No, it's not better than a win at all, but it's better than a loss.
This is true. And both teams deserve to lose, so I guess a tie is what you get with that. Let's go ahead and jump into the games. It's going to be a little bit quicker episode than we usually do, because I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to take care of and a hard stop because I got to go pick up my kid from daycare. So, Mike, let's jump in with the Lions and the Vikings. What's your takeaway for this game?
Yeah, I mean, Jerick McKinnon's going to return, so we'll talk about him. I think that he is a viable play this week. Detroit is, you know, terrible pretty much in all facets of defense. So, you know, Matt Asiata really didn't show us much last week in a pretty prime matchup. So this week, I didn't have McKinnon ranked because I didn't know what his health status was. But, you know, we're recording this on Thursday, and I think that I would flip-flop him and Asiata. I have Asiata as a top 15 back this week currently, so I would flip-flop them based on McKinnon being active and hopefully being okay from that hamstring injury.
Yeah, I believe I did rank McKinnon, but I ranked him pretty low. So, like you, I didn't really know exactly what his status would be. I ranked him 32nd, and Asiata, I believe I ranked in the top 15. So I as well would, or I ranked Asiata 20th. So I would probably flip them as well, but you know, I don't know if you can really know what to expect from these guys, other than McKinnon's going to get a large share of the work and Asiata is going to get the touchdown. So it depends on your format, but I could see people playing Asiata over McKinnon if needed. You know, for me, I'm interested to see if the Vikings defense can turn around. This was a dominant defense in the first half of the season, and the last couple weeks has been just atrocious. They need, as a team, to if they're going to be a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender, to have this defense be dominant, because the offense, it cannot bail them out. And we saw that last week, especially in a game where I took the Minnesota Vikings in my survivor pool because Mike told me to.
Well, I don't know anybody that would have picked the Bears. I'll just say this about the Vikings defense. I've been a little bit weary of them the last few weeks. They, you know, the first 3 weeks of the year, really, you know, first 4 or 5 weeks, they had so many sacks. And then these last 2 weeks in particular, they've only had one sack combined between, you know, the Philadelphia and the Chicago game. I know you and I have talked about it last week. If Minnesota lost in Chicago, which you and I thought was absolutely insane to have happen, then Minnesota's in trouble because, I mean, Green Bay is right behind them. I think that Green Bay is the better team. If you know, they kind of get the offense in order. So I mean, from an NFL perspective, not a fantasy angle, this is a really hectic time for Vikings fans and for the team in general, because I mean, they just North Turner just upped and left. That's another kind of takeaway from this game, is how is this offense going to look with North Turner gone and Pat Shurmur kind of in. You know, I know Pat Shurmur will certainly not like to target the running backs as much out of the backfield, and I know North Turner was a guy that loved to kind of do that, so it's going to be a completely different dynamic here
for sure. Lions of the Vikings, Mike, who you got?
I'm gonna go Vikings, have some faith.
I'm going to go Lions in the upset. I think the Lions are the sneaky team in this division.
Hey, they might. I'm really worried about the Vikings at this point.
Yeah. Eagles or the Giants, Mike, what's your takeaway?
Let's see. I think that just that no, I know people were talking about the Darren Sproles, Ryan Matthews thing, and I just find them both irrelevant. You know, they're pretty much just low end flex plays, even in your shallow formats.
Well, I don't know about that, man. I mean, especially with six teams on bye.
Well, this week in particular, yeah, of course, you can play both of them. I have both of them ranked, you know, I believe in the top 30. I know I have, you know, Sproles in the top 25. I have both of them ranked in the top 25. So this week, yeah, you can play them with confidence as a running back to flex, you know, area. But long term, I just don't like either of them. If somebody in your league is, you know, really excited about Darren Sproles, or, you know, definitely not Ryan Matthews, but Darren Sproles in particular, I mean, he played like a career high in snaps last week. He doesn't have the frame to be able to sustain the amount of punishment that a running back that gets that many snaps or touches would, you know, have to endure. So I'm really not in on Sproles or Ryan Matthews. Really, the Philadelphia Eagles offense in general, the only one that I'm even close to, you know, rostering on or playing on a consistent basis in PPR leagues is Jordan Matthews. But, you know, Zach Ertz has been plummeted this year. The running game is just not very good to me. And Carson Wentz is very mediocre in fantasy compared to what he is in the NFL.
And Josh Huff got cut, so I mean the wide receiver core in Philadelphia took another hit. I think Green Beckham is an interesting play this week. With Huff being cut, it looks like Beckham is starting to emerge as a target that Wentz looks for. And we know he's got all the talent in the world. Playing his cousin this week, if you're into storyline type bullshit. I think he's a guy that if you're desperate at wide receiver because of the bye weeks, he may be available in the majority of leagues, and he might be worth a kind of a Hail Mary play. Mike, who you got in this game?
Giants.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants. This is going to be a really ugly game. I could see it going either way. Jets at the Dolphins. Mike, what's your takeaway?
I really like Jay Ajayi this week, even though the, you know, Jets run defense is really, you know, stout. The fact that we have so many teams on bye, and, you know, this is kind of a DFS angle as well. Ajayi's price is really depressed on both FanDuel and DraftKings compared to what it should be. The offensive line for Miami has just turned it around. Laremy Tunsil has been an absolute star. I'm so happy that things are working out for him currently, especially with the whole, you know, face, you know, mask, I guess, debacle he had prior to his season, you know, and during the draft time.
The bong that cost him about $10 million.
Yeah. But, you know, this is, I like the Dolphins coming into the year offensively, mainly because of Adam Gase and what he can do. And I think they're finally getting back to, you know, what really they wanted to do prior to the season starting, which is use the run game. Foster's out, you know, and I think, you know, Ajayi is a guy that's going to be a borderline running back, you know, one the rest of the way, at least a running back two. And I'm not worried about this matchup. I understand the Jets are, you know, solid against the run this year. But again, with the bye weeks being the way it is, and, you know, the Jets have a few injuries on the defensive line that, you know, could, you know, yield to them being out this week as well. I'm not worried about this matchup.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the matchup either. I think, and I agree with you, I think Ajayi is a borderline RB1, RB2 rest of the way. You know, I'm not a big Ajayi fan, and I do like Kenyon Drake, but I mean, there's just really not much competition in that backfield at this point, especially with Foster up and retiring. What did you think about his just up and retiring?
I feel like it was the right thing to do. He knows his body more than anybody, and he's been somebody that, you know, when he has come back, he has done it the right way. He hasn't tried to push himself too fast. And, you know, in short, I think that he did what was right for him, and he, you know, doesn't want to live a life where he just can't walk around all the time. I mean, he's sustained so many injuries that, you know, it's tough to watch that he, you know, had to hang it up early. You know, all of us kind of wonder what if he was able to stay healthy the majority of his career, what he'd be able to accomplish. But, you know, it's sad to see him go, but I think he did the right thing, not trying to come back fast. And, you know, really, you know, what he would have been the rest of the year is just kind of a secondary option. I don't feel he wanted to do that. I feel like he wanted to be on the top of his game if he was going to be in the NFL. So I agree with what he did.
All right. I mean, I'm real interested this week in the Jets pass catchers as well as the Dolphins pass catchers. I think this is a game that may just kind of be whoever has the ball last wins. Quincy, I'm going to fuck this name up. Quincy Inunua, I think, has a really good shot to put up some really nice numbers this week, as a lot of the attention will go to Brandon Marshall. And if you're banking on Matt Forte to repeat kind of the numbers from last week, I think you may be a little bit mistaken.
CJ Spiller signed with, right after Nile Davis signed with the Jets, they were like, you can just go ahead and go on home. CJ, you can come on in. Chan Gailey's like, yes, I love me some CJ Spiller. He might play this week. Bilal Powell, as much as I like him, he's had a turf toe injury all season. So we really haven't been able to see him kind of gradually take over some more of a role in the running game. As far as Quincy Inunua, I love him to death. I think that his star is kind of rising as the season goes on. He's kind of filling in that Decker role. He's getting used in the red zone. Brandon Marshall obviously has had a career low in efficiency this year. So I think Inunua is a great call, especially against Miami. Miami is very leaky on the defensive front.
All right, Jets and the Dolphins. Mike, what do you got?
Dolphins?
Yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins at home as well. Let's go ahead and move on to the Jaguars at the Chiefs. What is your takeaway, Mike?
There's a million takeaways I have for this game. Yeah. I just want to say first and foremost that I've ranked Blake Bortles 17th at quarterback coming into this season. And I got so much shit, not just from, you know, people that I know, but people in the fantasy industry. And no, I don't even think he is 17th right now. But if you watch him, he is absolutely a disaster. I mean, I'm not trying to quote Donald Trump here, but he's a disaster, and there's nothing that can make him great again, ever. I think that Blake Bortles is just a sinking ship that people need to get off of. Allen Robinson included, just everybody needs to go from the past game. But in this particular matchup, Nick Foles is going to be starting in place of Alex Smith. And I think that this is actually a good thing for the Tyreek Hills and the Chris Conleys of the world. We were just talking about this last week as well, you know, what their values are going forward. And Nick Foles, you know, threw much farther across the field last week in his short time than Alex Smith has throughout his whole entire career. So, you know, Nick Foles isn't a great quarterback, but he does like to take shots deep. And I think that that's a very nice combination for this game against the Jaguars. I'd be willing to throw Tyreek Hill or Chris Conley in, especially with Jeremy Maclin being kind of hobbled midweek. Addition to the injury report, he might not play. I'd be willing to throw one of those two guys out on my team if I was in kind of some need at wide receiver for this week with so many teams on bye.
I completely agree with you. I'm running Chris Conley out in a league this week.
No, don't mind it at all.
And it's 16-team Dynasty League, the Friends Fantasy Benefits Signing League, which you just got into as of today.
I know. How about that? Becoming official. I don't know whose team I took over. You told me the name, but I don't know the guy. But
it's absolutely atrocious team.
There's some gems. There's some hidden gems on that team.
Yeah. I got to run Conley out, but I feel okay about it. I don't necessarily need him to score a ton of points, but I think he may be kind of a sneaky guy. This week, you know, my takeaway is on Blake Bortles. You know, he's got to throw some touchdowns and for some yards before they're down by 40 points.
Chances are unlikely.
Which is very, very true. So, I was wrong on Blake Bortles. I had him in my top 10, I believe, at quarterback coming into the year. He is only 14th, so it's not like, you know, I whiffed that hard. But you're right. If you look at the play on the field as opposed to just the numbers that he ends up with at the end of the day, it hasn't been good. And I blame, you know, he obviously shoulders some blame, but mostly I blame the Jaguars, front office and coaching staff. I mean, they have not helped this kid come along.
They're bringing it. They brought in a quarterback coach this week, or, you know, somebody to kind of get things in rhythm. I mean, Blake Bortles is an NFL quarterback is a different argument than fantasy. In fantasy, he will ultimately be fine because of the fact that there's garbage time. But in general, this guy isn't going to lead a team to the Super Bowl ever.
I think it's too early to make that call.
Well, who does? I do just want to add one more thing. Again, I know we're on a time crunch, but Sharkandrick West likely will start this game. Spencer Ware is out. I would say he's a top 10 running back this week if you because against the rush, you know, according to Football Outsiders DVOA, Jacksonville is 13th against the or in the bottom third against the rush this year, 27th to be exact. And in the 3 weeks that Sharkandrick West started last season, he had, you know, combined 20 plus touches in three straight games, over 100 yards in each of those games and a touchdown. So I think that he is a prime matchup in DFS. He's only 4,400 on DraftKings. There's a lot to like about West this week.
Yeah, I don't think I would put him in my top 10, but I'd move up to where I had Spencer Ware, which was a little bit hedged because of the injury status, but I had him at number 15, and I'd be fine moving West up to 15 for this game. All right, Jaguars at the Chiefs. Who you got?
Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs at home. Let's go ahead and move on to the Cowboys at the Browns. I mean, I guess I can start here. I'm much lower than everybody else on Dez Bryant, and I don't understand why you guys are so high on him.
Why are you so low on him?
I think, you know, with the injury that he is kind of playing with, I think at any point he could be taken out. I think this is a game where they're going to run away with the ball, and so the passing game is not going to be a huge priority. And I think there's a real chance that he doesn't see the field for a quarter and a half because they want to save him.
This is the thing. I mean, with so many teams on bye, I don't know what real take this is here. You know, you're going to play him in any league that you have him.
If you start two wide receivers, and you have, I'm going down, if you have Dez Bryant and Michael Thomas, and Terrell Pryor, and maybe like Emmanuel Sanders, I'm starting all three of those guys above Dez Bryant.
Yeah, well, I just flat out disagree. I have him as a top 10 guy. I'm actually the second lowest, but you have him outside the top 20, which I think is crazy. So, you know, as far as Dez Bryant and his usage, the last three games he's had with Dak Prescott, he's had over 10 targets in two of them. He scored in two of them. He's had over 100 yards in two of them. I just don't really see a reason to not start him in this matchup against Cleveland, who, yeah, they might get Joe Hayden back, but it doesn't matter. Dez Bryant's red zone usage, he had three red zone targets last week. I mean, coming back from injury.
In a game where they had to score late. Like, they had to throw the ball. They were down. They were down by 10 points in the third quarter.
I just don't bank on game script, though. Like, I don't know how in the NFL, today's NFL, you can bank on game script and not just put in your best guys.
The Cleveland Browns, I think you can bank on it a little bit more. This is going to be an Ezekiel Elliott game. This is going to be him just running nonstop. They're going to do their best to save Dez Bryant because they're going to need him down the stretch.
Yeah, I understand your argument. I just don't agree with it.
All right, we'll see. What's your takeaway for the game, Mike?
Yeah, I guess I'll go to the Cleveland quarterback situation. I'm praying to the NFL gods that Josh McCown remains the quarterback, at least for a few weeks, because Corey Coleman's returning. And I know I mentioned last week that I think that he's a strong buy. That was also kind of predicated on Josh McCown being the guy for a while. So if he is not going to be the guy, which it makes sense, you know, Cody Kessler coming in and, you know, the Browns seeing what they have in him, I get it, you know, but from a fantasy perspective, I'm hoping that Josh McCown gets a little bit more run, maybe two or three more games. That way Terrell Pryor and Gary Barnidge, Corey Coleman, all of these guys are a little bit more useful for the next few weeks. If not, I'm going to kind of, you know, go forward thinking that Kessler is going to be the guy here. And if that's the case, then you're not, Corey Coleman's an automatic no play. Terrell Pryor still wide receiver two and everything, but I'm hoping that Kessler is not the guy and McCown ends up being the starter for at least a few weeks.
Yeah, I think as little fantasy value as the Cleveland Browns have, would be completely destroyed if Josh McCown's not the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and even with the Browns, like, I understand they're going to be the number one overall pick no matter what. But don't you want to create a little bit of winning culture? And I feel like Josh McCown gives them the best chance to win any given week over Cody Kessler at this point. You know,
I mean, I think that is true in terms of, you know, I want to win. Like, you know, and I mean, even as a fan of the game and stuff, there are times where I'm like, oh, I'd rather them get a higher draft pick. I mean, right now they are pretty close to guaranteed it. I mean, they're really in a dogfight with the 49ers.
Yeah, they just traded for Jamie Collins too, though.
That defense just improved a lot.
Yeah, because the Patriots said that he is only a two-down player, which, I mean, they're smarter than I am, but I everything I've seen from Jamie Collins on the field is ridiculous.
This sounds to me like a money issue. He wanted an extension done. The Patriots weren't going to do it. They were afraid how that was going to affect his play.
It happened with Vince Wilfork. It happened with Chandler Jones. Now it's happening with Jamie Collins. I mean, it's just the way that it works.
Yeah, exactly. Cleveland versus Dallas. Who you got?
I know it's close. I'm going to have to really think about this one. You only have to ask me. Cowboys.
I know. I'm taking Cleveland in the upset.
Yeah, that's what I said last week, and damn it, it was close.
Yeah, it was close. Well, obviously, we're both taking Dallas. Let's go ahead and move on. Steelers at the Ravens. I think this is the week we start seeing Kenneth Dixon start to eat into Terrence West's time. And, I mean, I have Terrence West ranked fairly decently this week because I think it's a decent matchup. And he is the guy, and there's a ton of people on bye. But I think this is where we're going to start seeing, you know, those people who've been stashing Kenneth Dixon to start to get some love, because I think this is the beginning of the end for Terrence West and the beginning of something special for Kenneth Dixon.
I disagree. I don't think that Kenneth Dixon is worth a stash at all. I've dropped him pretty much everywhere, and I'm mainly citing their schedule the rest of the way. They just don't have any matchups other than Cleveland one more time, and they do get Miami at one point as well. Other than that, though, like the fantasy playoffs, you get New England in New England, which is definitely a terrible game script game for Baltimore, Philadelphia at home, and then Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh for the fantasy championship, who can be run on, but I guess we'll get a good gauge of how, you know, good Pittsburgh is able to defend the run this week against the Ravens here. But I just, as much as I do think that Kenneth Dixon does cut into Terrence West's workload, and I completely agree with that, I just don't know how big of a pie there really is to give here.
For me, it's not necessarily about this year, though. This is about for the future.
For the future. Yeah, absolutely.
This is like, if you're in a dynasty league and you're rebuilding, you're in a keeper league, you're rebuilding, Kenneth Dixon is a guy that I'm targeting for next season. But you need to do it now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that stance. I have him in a 14-team league and a keeper league, and I haven't dropped him all year because I want to see what he does next year. So I agree with that.
What's your takeaway for this game?
It's a big takeaway. It's either whether Big Ben plays or he doesn't. If he does play, then, you know, fire up all of your, you know, Pittsburgh pass catchers. It looks like Sammy Coates and Darius Heyward-Bey are the, you know, secondary options to Antonio Brown. So if you are in a crunch, I don't mind rolling out Sammy Coates if Big Ben is playing. But other than that, on the Pittsburgh side, there's really not much. Ladarius Green will not play this week. He still is, you know, the ankle injury still is bothering him. I actually just read a whole article and report on his status. He's certainly not going to play this week, but in terms of, you know, what you can expect long term from the tight end position that's, you know, heavily targeted in the Pittsburgh offense, I think once he does come back, you're going to be looking at a situation where it's just kind of 50-50 between him and Jesse James, and there's not much there.
Yeah. If Roethlisberger does come back this week, and I think it looks like he is on track as of practice reports today, I mean, he has got a pretty sweet schedule rest of the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Baltimore twice, Dallas, Cleveland, Indianapolis, the Giants, Buffalo, Cincinnati. I mean, that's a pretty decent schedule rest of the way. There's nobody that I'm really afraid of defensively on his schedule. So, I mean, he jumps right back into being a top five quarterback.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Steelers versus the Ravens. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go Ravens in the upset.
Ooh, I'm going to go Steelers. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Let's talk about the Niners at the Saints. I mean, other than fire up all your Saints, I mean, is there much to take away from this game, Mike?
Dwayne Harris, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, is supposed to get the start. Carlos Hyde is still in a non-contact jersey, which to me, you know, it's Thursday at this point. If he's still not getting any contact on that shoulder, chances are he's not going to play. So for me, you know, Dwayne Harris, especially against this Saints run defense that's, you know, in the bottom three in all football, he's certainly worth a flyer this week. I don't mind plugging him in, but still, I mean, I wouldn't feel good about it at all. I do want to talk about the Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower debacle. And what I think this is, while I do think Tim Hightower is going to get some work going forward, I don't think he's just not going to get, you know, one or two touches a game. I think it's more 5 to 6 range. I still think that this is a prime spot to buy Mark Ingram. This is, I think, just, you know, him having a fumble very early in the game that had a massive impact on the game. I mean, the Seahawks just took that, you know, took the fumble back for a touchdown. And, you know, obviously in the time, you know, Sean Payton didn't have any patience for that. So going forward, I still feel like Mark Ingram is completely fine. No, he's not a running back one at this point, but I do think he's a running back two with running back one upside going forward. You know, not the greatest playoff schedule, but at least good enough to feel okay about having him. So I would not be trying to sell Mark Ingram right now, and I think the Hightower hype is getting a little bit overblown.
I agree with you. And the playoff schedule is not bad for New Orleans. Don't they play Tampa twice?
They do, but Tampa has a better run defense than they do pass defense. But again, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, any you know, especially in division games, there's not a lot that I can kind of take from, you know, the ranks in terms of position ranks defensively on the season. So I'm not worried about it. No.
All right. Saints versus the Niners. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Saints. Go Colin Kaepernick.
I'm gonna go with the Saints as well. let's move on. Panthers at Rams. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Well, somebody predicted last week that the Panthers would come back and you know, off their bye week and absolutely crush Arizona, and somebody was right about that. So
I don't know who that was. Wasn't on this podcast.
I feel like we do that too much, like the week after. So, like, well, somebody did this. It's a very corny joke. So I apologize, listeners, for you hearing that.
I'm not apologizing for shit.
There's really not much to take away from this game, right? Like, you're certainly going to play, you know, your Panthers. I would say, I guess, on the Rams side, if there is a pass catcher that you're going to play, I would go with Kenny Britt, because Tavon Austin is the devil. And, you know, and Brian Quick, if you're in like a 16 team league, I suppose, could be all right. But, Carolina's been very leaky on the, in the secondary this year. They just gave up 2 touchdowns to JJ Nelson. Also a touchdown to John Brown in the same game. Brandon Cooks and Michael Thomas, the week before, they gave up over 250 yards and 2 touchdowns. The week before that, they had a big game to Mike Evans. Julio Jones had a massive game. So there's multiple receivers that have been doing this week in and week out against Carolina's defense. So I wouldn't feel terrible if I had Kenny Britt in there as a, you know, wide receiver 3 this week.
Yeah, I ranked 3 Rams wide receivers this week. It made me feel a little sick.
Yeah, that is a little sick. What do you? I mean, you don't have to rank 3. You don't have to go all out like that.
Well, I mean, look at who's on bye. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys on bye this week.
I'm just messing with
you. I didn't rank any of them highly. I think I ranked Tavon Austin like 29th or 30th, and the other two guys like in the 40s. So, you know, it's not a high ranking, but I mean, that's how devastating this bye week can be. With, you know, 6 teams on bye, it really kind of limits your options.
Yeah.
All right. Panthers at the Rams. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go Panthers.
I'm going to take the Panthers as well. Let's move on. Talk about the Colts at Green Bay. Mike, you were right. You know, I kind of bagged on Aaron Rodgers a little bit last week. He looks okay.
Yeah, he looks great. But what I was wrong on with the Colts was that they would steamroll over Kansas City.
Yeah, that
was a bit off.
I'm really glad I didn't take them in Survivor. Like, it helped me anyways.
My goodness, Colts, you are absolute. I mean, I don't know how Chuck Pagano has a job, but
because they're still in the hunt. Like, their division is so bad. Remember when we had Sigmund Bloom on? And he was like, I think a team at 8-8 or 9-7 could win this division. And I was like, nah, come on, Sigmund. You don't know. Holy shit, was he right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so bad. The division is so bad. I would still assume Texans, but regardless, you know, there's a lot of injury possibilities in this game. T.Y. Hilton looks like he's going to be active. So, but I love Dante Moncrief. He had a great game last week. He looks completely fine. Green Bay's secondary is crap. So you fire up Dante Moncrief without hesitation. Dwayne Allen looks like he's coming back this week as well. So Jack Doyle owners, it's once again a situation where he's probably going to, you know, get the majority of the snaps because they like to play two tight end sets, but I wouldn't expect that much. The thing I want to talk about is the running back situation for Green Bay. Once again, we're sitting here with Ty Montgomery on Thursday looking like he might play, but he has, you know, a kidney. I mean, he was pissing blood, Justin, which I know you've done multiple times in your life.
Yeah, and, those were STD related. Those weren't like, you know, injury related.
Well, we can't say definitively that this wasn't STD related for Ty Montgomery. He is an NFL player, so you never know. But regardless, I think that, you know, Ty Montgomery should play. But they did see a little bit out of this Aaron Ripkowski kid last week. He got a few rushes, you know, 6 rushes in total, and had over 30 yards with them. Looked okay. Not saying that he's going to, you know, take over the full, you know, running back workload here, but James Starks is making his way back. Just a massive cloudy situation here on both teams in terms of their injuries. So I would just kind of monitor this going into Sunday. Again, as of right now, we don't know definitively on Thursday how it's all going to shake out. But if Ty Montgomery is active, I would play him, and I wouldn't really feel like it's risky.
Yeah, if he's not active, I guess if you're, you know, just absolutely destroyed, you go with Aaron Ripkowski. But, I mean, I don't think I want any part of this running game until James Starks comes back.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, the Colts, is Dante Moncrief breaking out right now? Because it looks like it.
Yeah, Moncrief just looks, I knew he was going to take a step up this year, but he just looks the part. You know, I even ranked him kind of conservatively for this week, but, you know, going forward, especially in like Heber Dynasty, I think he's at least a mid to high end wide receiver too going forward. Mm-hmm. There's a strong case to be made, especially with quarterback play, that you could trade Dante Moncrief for Allen Robinson right now, and you're getting the steal in Dante Moncrief.
Ooh, I don't know if I would do that, but I can see the argument for it. And I think that's one of those trades that people in your league would want to veto. And I would defend, not that I would do it, but I would defend it to the end of time.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I mean, again, I would take Robinson as of right now, but and based on talent, Robinson's, you know, not clearly better, but he's definitely a step ahead of Moncrief. But in terms of quarterback play and everything, Moncrief, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, he's taking a step up, and I think that continues.
Yeah. Colts or the Packers, who you got, Mike?
I'm going to go Packers because the Colts are absolute dog shit.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna take the Packers as well. Titans at the Chargers. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Just a really interesting matchups all around this week. We have a lot of division matchups. You have DeMarco Murray with an injury to his toe that he had last week on the Thursday night game. Derrick Henry looked amazing. I mean, he looked
about time, just, right?
I know it is about time, but he looked great. And I feel like this Titans team is finally kind of coming together, even seeing some production from Kendall Wright, which is a great thing.
My boy, Kendall Wright is back.
Andre Johnson retired, which I think is a sign that, you know, Kendall Wright should get a good amount of touches. Not like he's going to be a consistent, you know, fantasy contributor, but it is nice to see from an NFL level. I do want to just say on the Chargers side that it is highly unlikely that Travis Benjamin plays. Tyrell Williams once again missed practice today on Thursday. It could be Dontrell Inman time, which if he is the kind of lone active wide receiver, even if Travis Benjamin is the only one out and Tyrell Williams gives it a go, which I think is doubtful at this point. Dontrell Inman, I think, is a nice sneaky add, especially in deeper formats for this week, especially with all the buys. That could at least do some, you know, damage for you in PPR leagues, get 5-6 receptions, maybe 50, 60 yards, possibly a touchdown. Hunter Henry is looking doubtful as well. So I really like Dontrell Inman for this week.
I also like Antonio Gates this week.
Absolutely.
Henry being doubtful. I just picked him up in our 16-team Dynasty League for this week.
Yeah, before I was available to pick him up, probably.
Yeah, I put a lot of fab on him because I think I had Dwayne Allen. I'm like, yeah, I'd rather just fucking go grab Antonio Gates, which is great because I traded Gates earlier this season to somebody. So he comes full circle. I'm interested in a lot of facets of this game. I'd be really interested to see what Derrick Henry could do if DeMarco Murray is out. I don't think Murray will be out, so... I think you know, we may still have to wait and kind of see. But, yeah, Henry looks legit. And I don't know if it was just the Jaguars defense last week or if he's the real deal, because I was on board. Another guy I was on board with was the aforementioned Kendall Wright coming into the season. You mocked me. You mocked my love for him.
I mean, let's calm down a second. He's only had, like, a couple decent games.
You
so.
Mocked me. But yeah, he's back. Probably
he's
until,
back. He's back.
He's back until next week.
He's back
when he
physically.
Tears his ACL again or something.
Yeah, he's back physically. He's not back in. I don't even know what kind of value he had before, but he's back
well,
in some.
Where would you rank him right now? Like if we were doing full wide receiver ranks, you know, like we did in the start of the season, where do you think he is? A wide receiver two, a low end two, or high
no,
end three?
No. No, I'd say mid-three. Low end three to high end four is about.
Okay, see, I think he's a high end three for me.
They just don't pass enough, you know. And
but they're going to be down in a lot of games.
They like, could be, but so far Tennessee has done a really good job of. I mean, Murray has got to be close to like the fantasy MVP award,
oh, he's
right?
Easily
like,
the, or, yeah, easily the fantasy MVP.
So you know, with the success he's had, it's really hard for the Titans to kind of deviate away from that. You know, why not just continue to run the ball with Murray? And I tell you what, man, Henry, I would have as a not just the clear handcuff that you want a target to acquire in any format, but as possibly like a running back to value the rest of the way. Because if something happens to Murray, who has gotten injured in the past a pretty substantial amount, Henry's a running back one in this offense. I mean, especially based on the way he looked. It wasn't just the Jaguars defense. Henry was aware. His awareness in the open field was amazing. He had the same play twice. And the first time he went up the gut for about 8 yards. The second time he started to go up the gut and saw on the outside that it was open and just, you know, zoomed outside and was able to score off of that. And that to me says that he's getting more comfortable. And just the talent is just awesome right now. Like I feel like Henry is finally kind of coming into his own after kind of the doldrums of the middle of the year, kind of figuring things out.
I completely agree with you. Titans at the Jaguars, or sorry, Titans at the Chargers. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with the Titans.
I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
Definitely not betting that game.
Yeah, me neither. we're gonna hit these two games real quick in the end. Sunday night and Monday night football. Broncos at Raiders. Mike, what are your takeaways?
I'm going to continue to start the two wide receivers from the Raiders, Crabtree and Cooper, obviously. Even though this is a bad matchup, I think that they are going to be completely fine. Aqib Talib is looking like he is doubtful for this game once again. And I think that this is going to be a completely fine situation for both wide receivers. Crabtree, I would like more on a DFS sense, but both receivers are getting have a top 15 target share in the NFL. Derek Carr obviously had an amazing game last week against the Buccaneers. I think it's just going to be kind of full steam ahead. They could possibly win this game.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Booker?
He has a shoulder injury. Certainly had kind of it was a little nervous to start, you know, last week. He fumbled the ball, I believe, on his first snap last week. And, you know, he also fumbled his first NFL carry. So not a great start there, Booker. But overall looked great. You know, I mean, he is arguably better than CJ Anderson straight up right now. He's a little bit more explosive, obviously younger, still kind of getting into the groove of things. But this is a Denver team that's going to continue to run. The Raiders defense is hideous across the board. So, I mean, he's an automatic start. There's really not much to say for Booker. But if he is out, then I would assume, you know, we that is one thing. You know, the red zone looks last week. Juwan Howard got, or I think that's his name, Juwan Howard the Broncos. He might get some more red zone looks or goal line looks than we might have expected before, but Capri Bibbs is a complete non-factor. I wouldn't worry about him at all.
Really, you don't have any belief he's going to be a factor?
I mean,
Juwan Thompson.
Yeah, Juwan Thompson. Sorry. Capri Bibbs, I just don't think is a very talented guy. He might seed, you know, or Devontae Booker might seed some carries and some looks to him, but I don't think that it's anything that is going to hurt his value.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so either, but I think he is the handcuff. I don't think Thompson is.
Yeah.
Broncos at the Raiders. Who you got, Mike?
I'm going to go Raiders.
I'm going to go Raiders as well. Let's go to Monday Night Football real quick. Bills at the Seahawks. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Let's see. If LeSean McCoy comes back, then we're obviously going to fire him up, but – you know, chances are he won't. Mike Gillislee looked great. So I think if anything, you know, last week kind of told us that Gillislee is the guy. I know Reggie Bush got hurt very early in the game. So, you know, against the Patriots. So I think it's very telling, though, that the Bills continue to go to Gillislee even when they were down by so much against the Patriots. So, you know, from a handcuff perspective, I think Gillislee is another one of those guys that's possibly a top five handcuff if something even more substantial happened to McCoy the rest of the way. But, you know, from a, you know, it's kind of the same takeaway with the Bills every week. You know, you have a strong run game, whether it's Gillislee or McCoy, and Tyrod Taylor might do some stuff with his legs. But other than that, no pass catchers. Don't care about Percy Harvin at this moment in time. He hasn't been relevant since 2011, so don't pick him up anywhere. Like, he was picked up on my team that I acquired in the Dynasty League that I just joined. Don't do that.
He traded his first round pick for him.
No, he didn't. No, oh, my God. No, he didn't. It was my heart just fell for a second.
Yeah, it was great to hear you freak out there for a second.
Oh, my God.
All right. Bills hit the Seahawks. Who you got, Mike?
Dude, I know you have a time crunch, but are you worried about Russell Wilson at all going forward?
I was worried about him coming into the season. So, I mean, I don't know what people want. I mean, that offensive line isn't good. He, you know, he's been dealing with injuries all season long. It was a matter of time before his small frame couldn't hold up against the pounding that he tends to take because of the offensive line woes. I mean, I warned people at the beginning of the season, don't draft Russell Wilson. So I don't know what to tell you. He is not a top 10 quarterback at this point.
No, I just quickly on the Seahawks. I agree. I'm not in on Russell Wilson. I know a lot of people are making the argument, well, what if he gets better as the season goes on? It doesn't matter because in the fantasy playoffs,
we're over halfway through the season already.
Exactly.
I mean, like, this isn't baseball. You don't have time to wait.
No, exactly. If you're sitting here because you have Russell Wilson, you've been starting him every week. If you're sitting here at, you know, 3-5, you don't have time to wait on this, you know, and you still have, you know, maybe one or two good matchups left. But after that, you're looking at, you know, at Green Bay, LA at home, and Arizona at home, both division rival teams that know Russell Wilson inside and out. This is a strong sell. I do just want to say on the running back front, CJ Procise, a strong PPR flex option going forward. He got a ton of looks, really good receiver out of the backfield. I think that he's going to have a role going forward with Christine Michael kind of taking on the largest workload he's ever had. And Thomas Rawls is certainly a guy I would stash just in case I'm going forward as well.
Yeah, if I'm a Russell Wilson owner right now, I am trying to sell him because his name still carries value.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would do it for Kirk Cousins, absolutely, in a heartbeat.
That hurts my heart right there, but I probably would do that as well.
Yeah, even though Cousins is, you know, it kind of like Bortles, not as bad, but, you know, kind of like him in the sense as an NFL quarterback. From a fantasy perspective, he's at least consistent. So that's all you can really ask for.
I completely agree with you. All right, Bills at the Seahawks. You got
Seahawks. Go pick up your kid.
Yeah, Seahawks. All right, that's gonna wrap us up. Mike, tell me where you can reach and what you're working on.
At Mike Werner FWFB. Check out the football podcast. Check out the baseball podcast in the off season. Check out my updates on Fantasy Pros.
You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Read my baseball stuff on FanGraphs, football stuff on FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com. I've had a pretty decent run last few weeks against the spread, so check those articles out. Come out Sunday morning. Check out the baseball podcast. Basketball podcast has started up, so check all that stuff out. Please give us a rate and review on iTunes. It really, really, really helps us out. If you want to see us continue to do this podcast on a weekly basis, we need your help with some 5-star reviews, so please help us out there. That is going to wrap us up. For Mike and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season. Every night.